Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Were you having difficulty getting new material together?
Just having difficulty getting out of bed for a while.
All right, I think we've all been there, but for 5 years?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I understand that Interscope actually was tentative about even letting you guys record or make a new album. Is there any truth to that?
I don't think so. Maybe you knew something we don't.
I remember they were pretty hesitant about the first demos we gave them.
And why was that?
Because they sucked.
It's good that you can admit that. What changed then?
We stopped sucking.
Hey, you're listening to Weezer Day by Day. I'm BJ, and this is episode 3 about Weezer's third album, commonly known as the Green Album, came out in 2001. So Pinkerton was kind of a flop at first, and following the tour, the band went on hiatus, and Rivers went back to Harvard to finish his studies, but he eventually dropped out at that time before finishing. And it was during that time that he formed a new band that he called Homie.
Crack the phone down over my head. Why are all American girls so rough? Damn, a girl can't ever hurt you enough. Lady, knock me on my knees and I can't stand up. You got the look in your eye and smack my butt. Why are all American girls so rough? Why do all American girls act so tough?
After Pinkerton, for a while, kind of looked like Weezer had broken up. But by February of 1998, it was Homie that broke up. And Rivers headed back to Los Angeles and started working on some demos, potential Weezer demos, with guitarist Brian Bell and drummer Patrick Wilson. So bassist Matt Sharp, who had had some success of his own with The Rentals, wasn't showing up to these rehearsals and basically became estranged from the band. And then by April of 98, Matt Sharp had quit Weezer, and so they replaced him with Mikey Welsh, who was the bassist in Homie. Now, it wasn't just losing Matt Sharp. Just overall, I guess these rehearsals weren't going well, and at the time, Rivers had just gotten braces on his teeth to straighten his teeth, and he's getting depressed, so apparently he starts isolating himself. He paints all the walls in his home black and puts fiberglass insulation and black sheeting over all the windows, Elvis style, so no light could get through. Yeah, so he went through that phase, that kind of, I guess, predictable phase for this tortured genius character. So that takes us into 1999, and the other guys from Weezer, they've got their own bands going. Patrick Wilson has a band called Special Goodness. Brian Bell has a band called Space Twins. Mikey Welsh goes out on tour as a part of Juliana Hatfield's band. So while those guys are doing that, Rivers is hiding away in his dark house, and he writes more than 100 songs. And Brian Bell would occasionally visit him there and work on some of the songs in the dark lair. Now, meanwhile, this is the late 90s, so unbeknownst to the band, on this new thing called the internet, their fan base is connecting and growing. And Pinkerton's being rediscovered and becoming a cult hit. And Weezer kind of picks up on this. I guess Rivers actually starts venturing out of the house. And they start playing some low-key shows around Los Angeles. But instead of calling themselves Weezer, they're keeping it low-key and they're going by the name Goat Punishment. Now, eventually they end up going out on the Warped Tour. And this is really, I think, what revitalizes the band. A quote from Rivers Cuomo: "We went in there fully expecting to be booed and have things thrown at us, but it was exactly the opposite. People were singing along to all the songs and just going crazy, giving us the best support. And I think that gave us the confidence we needed." So that response from the Warped Tour led them to keep playing shows. And then August of 2000, they start having meetings with producers and they're rehearsing new songs and they're basically getting ready to record a third album that at one point probably seemed like there would never be a third Weezer album, but here they are. This is 4 years after Pinkerton came out and they're starting to work toward recording a new album. That includes, in the same month, August, they run into Rick Ocasek when they're playing a show in New York, and there the seed is planted to work with Rick again on this next album. So they're sending Rick Ocasek demos throughout the fall, and the band can't make up their minds if they're going to record in L.A. or go to New York and record with Rick Ocasek, and they end up deciding to record the next album in Los Angeles. And I guess Rick Ocasek did a lot of his production work over the telephone. Also, on October 5th, Rivers got his braces off. So these new songs are different, because Rivers has been affected by the very disappointing response to Pinkerton, and he has decided to write simpler songs with less personal lyrics. He stated, quote, that the songs were very intentionally not about me, not about what was going on in my life, at least not in a conscious way. So they start recording the third album in early December of 2000. And they're also still playing those shows around Los Angeles, calling themselves Goat Punishment. The original release date for the album was April 17th, but that was postponed because Rivers and the executives at Geffen were fighting over the choice for the first single. And Rivers was insisting that the first single would be Hashpipe. And I have to say, I disagree with Rivers on this. But he won the fight, and the album came out in May of 2000, and then it went to number 4 on Billboard. So let's get into this album, and spoiler alert, this is my favorite Weezer album. So the album kicks off with a song called Don't Let Go. Now, the melodies on this album are going to get a lot better after this, but I love this song. It's not as intricate in terms of the pop catchy melodies, but it's a very catchy song. It's a very fun song. It's just a great blast of like pop punk kind of pop rock. A quote from Rivers: "With Don't Let Go, I just started strumming these chords and started singing. One word came out after the other, and I had no idea what I was singing about. And then at the end, I had a full song, and I still didn't know what it was about." So I love this. I think Rivers had a real knack for writing this kind of a song. It's just a simple blast of melody with heavy guitars. And this song definitely puts a smile on my face. You should turn your heart away.
If you want it, you can have it. But you gotta learn to reach out there and grab it.
All right, next up is Photograph. Another song that I love. Great, catchy melodies. That's all I can say about this song, is the melodies are fantastic. Great hooks. It's just catchy as hell. I think these first two songs are really great, and they're just straightforward, straight ahead, fun, heavy, pop rock, and very identifiably Weezer, I think. All right, third song on the album, Hash Pipe. Quote from Rivers. For a couple of years there, well, I've always been an analytical person, but for a couple of years, I just got really analytical in keeping track of every detail of the process of writing a song and intentionally varying individual elements to see what the result would be. But sometimes these experiments were indistinguishable from how any other rock person would write a song. For example, in mid-2000, somehow my experiments evolved to a point where step one was take a pill of Ritalin. Step two was take 3 shots of tequila. Step three was go out in the backyard, sit down on a chair. Step four was close your eyes and imagine the song. And that's how I wrote Hash Pipe. So I have complained on the previous episodes about the choice for first single from both of those albums, and once again, terrible choice for a first single. It's got to be the quirky, weird alternative song that, you know, this one has kind of got elements of metal, but it's got these, you know, weird, amusing lyrics. But it's really a dumb song. I mean, I can enjoy this song, but it's also pretty fucking stupid. And those first two songs, in my opinion, are just a billion times better than this. Like I said, the song's all right, decent riffs, entertaining enough, but... All right, next song, Island in the Sun. Obviously a very well-written and catchy song, but honestly, I have never really liked it that much. There are at least 6 songs on this album that I like infinitely more than this one. All right, up next, one of those songs that I like infinitely more than Island in the Sun. It's a song called Crab. Now, I don't know what else to say about this song except great melodies. I mean, it's quirky and funny in a different kind of way from Hash Pipe. And I do enjoy when Rivers does these kind of nonsensical kind of lyrics that are, they are kind of funny. But really, it all comes down to melodically, I love this song. I think it's great melodically. And you pair the melodies with this production and this heavy guitar sound, and it's pretty awesome.
Say that's okay. She won't be
Up next, just might be my favorite Weezer song of all Weezer songs, called Knock Down, Drag Out. Just stunningly great melodies, in my opinion. I really love this song, and it's all about these melodies. The production is also great, but this is just 2 minutes of pop perfection. It's so catchy. The melodies are just so fun. So to me, this is the kind of song I love. Yeah, it's just a short burst of just nonstop great melodies.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, track 7 is a song called Smile. More great melodies. I really don't know what else to say. These songs are why this is my favorite Weezer album. We've got 3 songs in a row now that the melodies just knock me out. I just love, and like I've been saying, it's the melodies and the guitar, the heavy guitar sound. Just so the production and the great catchy songwriting, you know, it's a great pairing. And I really enjoy it. Next song, Simple Pages. Make that 4 in a row of great songs with insanely great melodies. Rivers was so fucking good at writing these songs with these melodies. I've had a theory that, especially on this album, he comes up with these melodies first and then puts them to music. Because to me, it's these songs revolve around these melodies, not around a chord progression or a riff. It seems to me the very heart and soul of these, the best songs on this album, is the melodies. Track 9 is called Glorious Day, and this is good, but not nearly as good as the 6 songs on this album that I really, really love. But this is fun enough, and you know, you can just listen to this album straight through to the end for sure. Yeah, and we've made it to the end, track 10, Oh Girlfriend. Again, this one is all right. I don't like the chorus as much. The melodies in this one aren't as, I guess, inventive or infectious as the better songs on this album. But it's not a bad song by any means, and it's you know, it's a decent Weezer song. My overall impression of this album is it's great. It's not mind-blowingly, like, artistic, creative, whatever. Not mind-blowing musicianship. I mean, all the guitar solos on the album, which is hilarious, all the guitar solos are the vocal melodies played on guitar, which is hilarious. But that's the kind of album this is. It's not about guitar solos. It's about the melodies. There's a perfect example. The guitar solos are the melodies because that's how good the melodies are. They can be a guitar solo. That's a thing I point out when I talk about when a song doesn't have a good melody, is imagine playing the melody as a guitar solo. Would it work? Would it be any good? All of these songs, the melodies are the guitar solos. And so this album, to me, this album is about melody. And if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know that that's my favorite thing, is melody. The best melodies is the interplay between the music, the chord progressions, the riffs, and the vocal melodies. But with this album, it's just more about the music is just the background, and the melodies is the foreground, and the melodies is the focus, and the melodies are what make me really love most of this album. So it's a short burst. The whole album, it's pretty short, and it's just a great, fun album to listen to. So hopefully they're going to keep this going. We'll find out tomorrow when we hear what Weezer do next on their next album, Maladroit.
Just want to shout.